We've got Maddie Stewart online who joins us. Maddie, good to get you on for the news. I'm not sure whether you got to hear all of Glenn Voss, but that's one of the most riveting hours of radio I've had the pleasure of being a part of with Vossie. He's just so engaging, honest. He wears his heart on his sleeve, and it was such a courageous thing to do today to actually speak publicly for the first time about actually trying to take his life. And I think he'll be an inspiration for a lot of others who are maybe doing it tough out there with what he had to say today.
It was extraordinary. I did hear that, Michael, and yeah, it was quite jarring to listen to him go into sort of, he hinted at dark days, but he'd never gone into specific detail about where and when and what. And that was quite extraordinary, the Singapore story, when he was sort of out on his own without the protective sort of cloak of Sloan, and sort of ran amok and then lost his way very, very badly, and then did attempt to take his life. And yeah, I think a lot of people were listening, would have been listening to that and thinking about their own situation in life, and inspired by the fact that Glenn pulled his way through, and that someone even as rich and famous and successful as him can get that close to the edge.
Absolutely. He's going to be such a good asset for racing, I think, moving forward. And the good news too, that he also broke the news, is that there's one more cameo to come.
And what was that?
He's been invited to ride at the Saudi Cup on the 25th of February, representing Australia up against the likes of Mike Smith and Frankie Dettori. So he's going to accept the offer and have one more day representing Australia on the 25th of February.
Typical G boss, has to be at the world's richest horse race, doesn't it? Yeah, so that'd be about right. Oh, I tell you what, I did found fascinating. He's so articulate, Glenn Voss, and there was an extraordinary situation. I know this is my hobby horse, but the female riders won 20 of the 30 races throughout four meetings in southern Queensland on the weekend. Ipswich, Kilcoy, Toowoomba, the Sunshine Coast. They rode the card at Toowoomba for the second time in recent weeks, and the flood of female jockeys up there is quite extraordinary. I've had a chat to Jamie Carr this morning, who tells me that she's definitely back this weekend. We were a bit confused about what meeting was where, but she's going to be riding at Mornington on Friday. Maybe she's not sure about Moonee Valley Saturday night, but certainly Mornington on Friday, and then almost certainly Pakenham on Saturday, but she's raring to go as well. So, you know, the dust settles on the Queensland whitewash with the females up there, and Jamie Carr champing at the bit, and Glenn's comments about what it is about female jockeys that makes them so we say dominant now, and so unique, is that gentle relationship they've got with the horse, where they don't stand over them like the boys do, and they have a better rapport. And yet again, Glenn explained that very clearly as well, and he sort of basically said there's no ceiling for them now. And yeah, his words on that were quite timely, given Jamie's stamping at the bit and the girls were going crazy up in Queensland.
It'll be great to see Jamie Carr back towards the end of this week. And while we're speaking of jockeys, we've got to make mention of Australia's oldest jockey, Robert Thompson, who officially announced his retirement yesterday. He hadn't ridden for a few months, but at the age of 63, he is one of Australian racing's most remarkable jockeys, who has ridden for decades, and I think he's got the most number of wins. He thinks he's ridden in more than 30,000 races. His career started, Matty, in 1973. That was before I was born, believe it or not. And he's just unbelievable to have a fitness to continue in the saddle until age 63. What a remarkable career for Robert Thompson.
Yeah, exactly. And Debbie Weymouth, probably, you know, I think she's up there as well at the picnics. And what struck me about that, and Glenn retiring at 52 and Ollie still flying at 49, is there was a time about 15 or 20 years ago where there was an obsession with young jockeys. It was a time when Nick Ryan and Blake Shinn were dominating here, and guys who got a second chance, like Dwayne Dunn and a few others, were saying, we can't get a look in. No one will put a jockey on a jockey who's over the age of 27 in Melbourne. And that was the case for 3 or 4 years, and everyone wanted to put these kids on, and Robert Thompson, Glenn Voss, Ollie, and all these other jockeys are an example that the mindset's changed, and now they're very much respecting Frankie Dettori. But wisdom, there's a bit of benefit of wisdom.
Absolutely. So he's a Hall of Famer. Congratulations to Robert Thompson. 4,447 winners in his career. Matty, you've just come back from the Jericho, which I know you loved. There's talk about what will occur and if Any changes will be made for next year? What's the thought?
Well, I think that they need to give it just a bit of time and space now. And Mert summed it up on the radio on Saturday with this double booking with the zipping and the Jericho. Well, the zipping, by all reports, was a terrific success. And the Jericho was terrific. But, you know, the crowd was... my understanding is that they're still to cobble the figures. I don't think they got 5,000. So as much as it was great and it was a beautiful sunny day and everyone was bursting out of COVID, it's a bit of a false dawn in a way. They want to be very careful not to settle with what happened on Sunday because, like, you know, everyone got a bit lucky with the weather and the fact that everyone's desperate to do something now. But I think they still need to have a think about what their ambitions are with it. It may be able to share that weekend with the zipping. But, you know, some of us reckon that they could get 15 or 20,000 there and it could be an enormous celebration. And look, it was fantastic. I mean, the mood, you heard Colin, I've never heard him choke up in his life. He choked up, and Andrew Kelly for winning the Constellation, and they were both, the trigger points for them, the emotion was that they had members of their predecessors in their families that went to war and some of them never came home. So it did resonate. There were families and kids, and you could hear a pin drop with the minute silence and then the reading of the ode as well. So it just means so much to people, and the backdrop is a race meeting. I think everyone was there. Everyone's starting to realise now just what that meant. If you spoke to everyone who left the course on Sunday, they would all be of the view that this is a very, very special. Maybe it could become bigger.
Just a couple of quick ones before G Hall jumps in the saddle. Yesterday, Josh Blanksby broke the news on the verdict that he's seriously considering having the CF4, the Group 1 race, moved on to Zipping Classic Day to further bolster that as well. Have you spoken to Greg Carpenter about a possible pattern change?
Yeah, I spoke to Greg Carpenter. He said, look, everything's a possibility at the moment. They haven't done their full debrief, and they're going to be talking to all the various clubs and sitting down before Christmas and then post-Christmas about what may work best with the pattern and so on. So certainly the ideas that Josh Blanksby brought up have not been dismissed by Racing Victoria. They are of interest without any commitment at the moment. So that's the story there. Had a chat out to you with Xander this morning. He's VRT hearing yesterday. Racing Victoria's got 7 days to make its final submission, so to speak, and then a couple of days for Archie's group to respond, and then a decision will be made before Christmas. You know, the VRT did. They have been in possession of the audio file of Archie to the owners of Tom's Night before that race where he returned the cobalt positive in November 2018, and there was no suggestion of heightened confidence. In fact, it was almost the opposite. Betting records were requested and presented, and there weren't any because he doesn't even have a bet. You know, I think most people realise that there's been just a inadvertent feed error there, and I'm comfortable saying that because I think we know enough about this case now, so hopefully it'll go the right way.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll wait to see what transpires there. We'll do more on this tomorrow, but James McDonald's got a decision to make re Hong Kong. Maybe this new COVID variant could scupper his plans with the quarantine arrangements over there. And looking forward to hearing from Grant Williams, who'll be on with Gareth Hall very shortly, and the announcement yesterday, the confirmation that they're going to set up a satellite stable here in Victoria, which is great for Victorian racing. I wonder whether they will be some of Bob Peters' best horses coming over, or what that situation will be.
Yeah, lethal little team, whatever it is. Do we know where they're going to play? Oh, we'll find out from Gareth, but interesting to see where they do set up.
Yeah, absolutely. Matty, we'll read all about it, rsn.net.au today, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just watching Max and his eight companions trotting out at Northern Farm up here at Eden Park as part of this riding course. So this is all going quite well, and good luck to the kids.
Absolutely. Could you imagine if we had a Stewart as an apprentice, G Hall? Max has got a lot more courage than his old man. There's no doubt about that.